But first, oil prices in America have plummeted to an all-time low, reaching negative $38 today in an unprecedented drop-off. The situation comes after months of a price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia, which has been exacerbated by other global factors. Ryan Stanton asked Dr. Stuart Jackson, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, how we came to this pass.
Okay, what we have is a series or confluence of events. One is, had been, an ongoing, if you like, price war between Russia and Saudi Arabia. And the other is COVID-19 and the effects, actually, of reduced travel. Now, you have a large amount of aviation fuel now in storage. And, of course, in the United States, it's not going anywhere. They're not flying anywhere. So you have this storage capacity that's been taken up. Now, if you don't want it, what do you do with it? Well, you can't just throw it away. You can't just burn it. You've got to put it somewhere because you still need to make petrol for all the petrol vehicles and diesel for all the diesel vehicles, the land transport vehicles that you're using. So what you're now seeing is a slight scramble to see how to use this aviation fuel, if you like, just to be able to free this up.
You said that this situation was a result of already depressed prices in part, but this is the first time that these prices have shifted into the negative. Can you explain a bit more about what this shift might mean?
Well, logically, it actually means that someone has to pay you to take the oil away. The reality is, of course, that when you look at, you know, so you have the West Texas crude price, which is the American spot price. You have the Brent crude price, which is the price paid for oil, certainly out of the North Sea. That's still sitting at $26 a barrel, so in positive. And what it means is that certain sections of the market are not buying oil and some sections are. You also have, of course, large amounts of fuel floating around the world at any one time on all the large carriers. And that creates a different problem around pricing into the future. So the futures market is now suffering. So the impact is that it forces countries, companies to now consider how else to utilize these various materials.
Can you elaborate on how this current global oil market situation is affecting Australia?
I certainly can do. The problem with aviation fuel is that it has a high sulfur content. Australia has changed its rules around what you can put into fuel oil in terms of sulfur content. So the consequence is that they say, no, you can't put a lot of this into bunker fuel, or you can't put it into what ship diesel would use. You actually have to be quite careful because we now have a set of rules around what you can pump out into the atmosphere. So we have, in that sense, created a problem in how do we, again, use this stuff. So it is actually, as I say, having a direct consequence. What we had was a system set up to do one set of actions, and we have a situation that is really demanding things operate in a different way because the rules and regulations we've set up don't accommodate this new situation.
Will this new situation affect petrol prices for people filling up their tanks?
The interesting part about that is that it may do if all the costs are passed through. It may not. One way of dealing with this is to slow production. This would push the price of petrol up and not allow it to continue to fall. It would solve the storage capacity problems and what do you do with all the other products that you've created that you're not using. But yes, it would actually push the price of petrol up. The likelihood is that we will not see this passed all the way through. We will see perhaps in the short term some drops in price. Personally, I would be expecting eventually the price to go up again, depending on where we go into the future.
This whole situation with oil prices being negative seems unsustainable, and you've touched on some of the possible solutions to it. What can we expect to happen after this dip passes?
What will happen after? If I had a crystal ball, I could tell you. There is a desire expressed, and we've seen this in some polls, and this is overseas polls, certainly in the UK, people saying they would prefer to remain not in a COVID-19 lockdown situation, but not have to go back to the pace of life that they were living beforehand. At the same time, there's a large number of people in business who would like us to go right back to where we were before us. But this has also given us a way forward just at the right moment when we were starting to think about climate change, bushfires, how do we do it? We've had a break. We've had a breather. We could potentially start talking about, well, how can we reconstruct, you know, if not our whole lives, bits of our lives.
Dr. Stuart Jackson, Senior Lecturer in Politics at the University of Sydney, speaking there with Ryan Stanton.